You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
This is Kristen Farrig for the Art World Demystified, and I'm here with Rui Amateus Amaral. Rui is the curator at the Scrap Metal Gallery. In the past short 2 years, he has curated numerous important and noteworthy exhibits of contemporary art at Scrap Metal, as well as at the Daniel Faria Gallery in Toronto. This busy young man has also been involved with major cultural institutions in the city, from the Design Exchange, Canadian Art Foundation, to curating the Powerball for the Power Plant Gallery. Rui, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
So, to begin with, when and how did you first become interested in the arts?
I really became interested in the art through theater and dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's my core and kind of where my formal training lies.
Yes.
And I'd always been interested in movement. My father played numerous instruments, and I was always surrounded by music, and
yes.
My mother is also a seamstress, so I was always around this idea of making and creating,
mm-hmm.
And I think I naturally responded with my body.
Yeah.
And so everything I did was always very physicalized, and that's how I really came into the arts, and then much into my later teen years, I became more interested in the performance of objects and how objects could perform and what are the conditions that allow an object to perform.
So what do you mean by objects performing?
In the sense, you know, how do objects story tell?
Mm-hmm.
What are the conditions? What are the modes of presentation? How do we write about objects and allow them to animate,
mm-hmm.
and come alive? How do we engage with them? How do they engage with us?
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's ultimately what also led me to becoming a curator, in the sense that I am creating the conditions for objects to storytell,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Mm-hmm. So there is sort of story embedded in design and
mm-hmm.
physical objects is
mm-hmm.
Just by definition, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think every object carries a certain history,
mm-hmm.
That it's up to curators and artists or even cultural producers at large to really try and unearth
mm-hmm.
what those histories are, what these new histories could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess as a curator, if you put, I mean, taking that to the next step, if you put two
mm-hmm.
objects together, then those two stories can make another story in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's this, you're kind of creating this tradition of taking two disparate things and creating new meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we really think about that, you go back to Marcel Duchamp and the ready-made, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking two disparate objects and combining them in a way that allows us to come to new meanings,
mm-hmm.
or allows the objects to transcend themselves, in
mm-hmm.
a sense. You know, something becomes much more significant or profound than just being utilitarian.
Mm-hmm. When it's in a different environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Placement.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
So at Scrap Metal, now Scrap Metal Gallery is, it's a new gallery, about 2 years old.
3 years old, yeah.
Three years old.
We just celebrated 3 years last week.
Wow. And
yeah.
This gallery is quite unique in the Toronto contemporary art scene,
mm-hmm.
because maybe you can explain a little bit about what you're doing with the gallery there.
So the gallery, as you mentioned, has been around for three years, and we are an alternative voice in a city, in a sense that we operate privately but
mm-hmm.
are open publicly. But it's founded by two collectors who have been collecting for about 18 years, and their names are Joe Schlesinger and Samara Walbaum, and they're
mm-hmm.
based in Toronto. And they've been collecting contemporary art, and the space was really envisioned as almost an extension of their home.
Mm-hmm.
They were buying larger installation works that could not be accommodated in their own kind of domestic space. So they decided to get this more industrial space where they could house a significant amount of their collection. But then through conversations, they realized, you know, what's the point of having this, you know, massive space with crates filled in it? Why don't we actually put up drywall and create, you know, a program and allow and kind of share our passions and interests with a larger public who might benefit or might be even just curious to actually see what a collection is, what it could be.
Well, the actual location is very curious.
So this is and this is really reflected in the original kind of conceptualization of the space, in the sense that the space is located in an alleyway.
An alleyway off an alleyway, pretty
An alleyway off of a dead end street. There is no sign, really. It's really through word of mouth, and the collectors don't. Well, their names aren't on the. You know, they're not. It's not the Joe. Joe and Samara collection, or the Flesh and Journey Wallbaum collection. It's just called Scrap Metal Gallery, which is also very ambiguous, but also plays to its site in the sense that we're in an industrial, working class Portuguese neighborhood. And so the space really plays to that, and even in the way the space was actually conceptualized physically, I mean, if you look at the floor, there are still barrel marks from when the space was a winery. There are still, you know, kind of these traces and remnants from its previous lives, which we've kind of kept intact and are very much part of the fabric of the space and the community.
If you go find your way to that gallery, you're passing by little industrial activities happening along that alleyway.
And in that alleyway, you're literally going through people's backyards as well. So it's kind of this strange, I mean, it's both, it's residential, it's industrial, it's commercial, it's this kind of enigmatic space.
It's very cool.
So, and then the... We do about 3 exhibitions a year, and they're open, like I said, open to the public on Fridays and Saturdays, 12 to 5 p.m., or by appointment only throughout the week. And we're actually quite busy with appointments during the week, which is fantastic, and we try to accommodate every visitor if the request is made in kind of an acceptable amount of time.
I noticed when the gallery was opened that there was reference to it being a reference to community. I'm just wondering whether wanting to be space accessible to the community. I'm just wondering what they were thinking in terms of community. Is that the art community or the
Community?
The local community, or how?
As of now, the first few shows were directly taken from the collection, or based from the collection, and so far mostly our collaborations with the community have been with the art community specifically. Organizations such as Mercer Union, which is an artist-run center in the area, with the Images Festival, with the Toronto International Film Festival and their Future Projections Project. So in that sense, as of now, it's mostly been involvement with the kind of local art community, but that you know, there's still possibilities that, you know, I think we're just trying to find the right context, and that's really what it comes down to. All of the projects that we do, which are outside of the collection, it really depends on kind of context and ideas that come to us, or you know, conversations that happen.
I guess not being commercial gives you freedom to follow different paths.
It's a private entity essentially. So there's a lot of freedom with that. We are free from bureaucracy. We don't have a board. So we're able to really play and kind of do what we want essentially, which is a nice alternative to what Toronto's and even Canada's landscape really is. I mean, you know, you have your commercial galleries, you have your artist-run centers, and then you have your institutions and your museums. And there are governing bodies in all of those that have their own interests, and also has the public's interest at large also in mind, which can sometimes affect the museum's program for better or for worse. And so I think...
And sometimes there's conflict in that, like differing pulls in different directions that's hard to satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's also why so many organizations would want to collaborate with us or have reached out with us, A, because, the space is physically, I guess, attractive in the sense that it's literally a large white cube.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, we exist in this space that is kind of at the center but also on the periphery of what is going on in the art world in Toronto and in Canada at large. So
that the space also has its the way it's set up, it almost has what could be seen as a small performance space in a sense. The way it's laid out could have a performance there, or
mm-hmm.
It can be used and configured, and I've seen it configured in different ways
mm-hmm.
that rather than just straightforward gallery space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your personal interests
mm-hmm.
as a curator, and how are they expressed in your curatorial choices?
My curatorial choices and interests. I would say a lot of my interests rely on my experience and knowledge of the body,
mm-hmm.
And looking at practices that engage the body as this material or starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really reflected in the current exhibition that's on, which is called Somebody, Everybody, Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
The Eva Katakova's exhibition,
mm-hmm.
Her solo show, which we had in the spring, via Arnon Valise, who's this other cultural producer in the city, which is mm-hmm. really interesting. And All Beneath the Moon Decays, which was curated and presented at Daniel Faria Gallery, mm-hmm. just across the street. So I think the body is always this kind of starting point, mm-hmm. and I've mentioned before that the body is kind of the ultimate ready-made. It's kind of ready to be used. It's this material that everyone has access to,
mm-hmm.
and just the presence of the body in a space is already alters the space in a certain way, creates new meaning, new possibilities. And so I'm really interested in the possibilities of the body, both in its resilience, but in its decay and demise, essentially.
Mm-hmm. The body suggests character and
mm-hmm.
On one hand, but this idea of decay, now
mm-hmm.
how does that all fit in?
Mm. I think it's me realizing I'm 26 years old,
mm-hmm.
and in recent years I've really realized that death is at work. And I know that's a strange thing to say,
uh-huh.
but it's, you start to notice. Even I know people always say, oh, well, you're so young to be noticing things like that, but I'm so hyper aware of my body, and having spent so many years just looking in the mirror and perfecting a certain form,
mm-hmm.
A certain grace, that I'm still hyper aware
mm-hmm.
of when things aren't as graceful, when things aren't as easily accessible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because of aging. And mm-hmm. it is because, your body starts to
break down
mm-hmm. or it starts to slow down.
Yes.
A little bit, and so you have to work that much harder. Even something as simple as, when I was younger, I never really stretched before I would go into dancing, and my body would just kind of respond to that, and
mm-hmm.
it would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I really have to spend time stretching and really preparing the body for movement, whereas I've never had to do. It's such a small kind of banal exercise or thing to be aware of, but it really made me realize that I am not invincible,
mm.
and that my body will, I need to really take care.
So are that idea of decay and the body decay, you're drawn to artworks or artists that create, that are exploring that same theme?
Or respond to this kind of idea that,
mm.
I think what's interesting about death is that it's the only thing that we know will happen.
Mm.
It's the only thing we know. Because we're already here, so we know that we are alive.
Mm.
But death is the only thing that we are certain of.
Mm.
And I'm interested in how people either fight that or engage with it. And I think that's really reflected in some of my more kind of curatorial choices, practices I'm interested in.
Mm.
I mean, this is not the only thing I'm interested in, but I would say it's what is at the forefront of my kind of thoughts and investigations at this point.
Mm. So would give me an example of an artist or a work that has triggered that for you.
I would say Miroslav Balka, his work that is in the current show right now,
mm-hmm.
Which is The String of Soap, which is called 186 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters, which is a reflection of his bodily dimensions and the dimensions of the actual material. And this idea of using soap as this indicator or sign of the body, in the sense that we all, or most people in the world, attribute soap to this kind of personal ritual of cleansing the body.
Mm.
And the presence of this beautiful string of soap, in which this every piece of soap is kind of in its own state of decay, has its own distinct smell, reminds us of our own individual bodies, and the fact that, you know, if exposed to water, the soap starts to deteriorate, and its use on the body starts to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. And likewise, the body also begins to deteriorate as well, over a much longer span of time, of course. And I think that's something I'm really interested in, is kind of using these very kind of banal, everyday, common materials that have these very actually heavy associations that we don't even really think about.
Mm-hmm.
And he really brings that to the fore, or kind of makes it possible to meditate on these, on this idea of death and disintegration in a really kind of compelling way.
So does he use, is that something that he does in other work, or is it?
Yeah,
or
he's used soap before. And there's always, his work most often than not is always titled based on the dimensions of the work, and is always in relation to his own bodily dimensions. So in a way, the artist is, he's always present in the work as well, but in very kind of subtle, nuanced ways, which I'm also really interested in, is how do you embed yourself or insert yourself in a way that is both present but is equally removed, so that the viewer can also slip into the work and enter the work.
So this show that you're talking about, Somebody, Everybody, Nobody, that I did go to the opening. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And the gallery's really has created a name for itself very, very quickly, and a lot of excitement around all the different shows as they come up.
Mm-hmm.
And the work in that show, so that work is, that's all part of the collection of the...
So how we are working presently is each show that is taken from their collection or is part of our program outside of any collaborations always takes the collection as a starting point.
Yes.
And whether or not that is one work that begins, that becomes the impetus for a larger exhibition or a group of works, that's kind of how we're kind of constructing exhibitions at this point. And
okay.
So, which is really important because, you know, there's this idea of when you capture something, in a way it dies as well, like a photograph, you know, experience kind of ends in a photograph, and once it's captured, that, you know, it's passed, it's gone, it's over. And
captured mean collected.
Yeah, collected
it.
Yeah.
And
there's this sense of there's a death.
Yeah.
There's something that dies. And the exhibition brings together a group of works from their collection under a very specific context or condition that I've devised. And to avoid it being this idea of, you know, a death or this thing that is captured and is passed. We now also include borrowed works from other collections or are on loan to us from artists mm-hmm. or commercial galleries, which invite this idea of what the collection could also possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to really make the exhibition really present in the sense that these are works that exist in the collection and have started this larger idea for this show, but these are other works that could possibly exist in the collection or bring something to this this you know composition of works, which is more active mm-hmm. and engaged and present and alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, even if you own, say you own a painting mm-hmm. and it sits on the same place on the wall for over a period of time mm-hmm. and you stop looking at it after a while and it just sort of...
Yeah, it becomes banal.
It kind of becomes...
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, if things are being collected and then put in a storage room, that's
mm-hmm. yeah.
a shame, really.
It's the archive, right? Mm-hmm. The archive is kind of this like ultimate... Mm-hmm. death, in a sense, which Jacques Derrida, the French theorist, kind of, you know, developed a whole text on, and this notion of the archive, which can be compared to a collection, for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, what do you have coming up next at the Scrap Metal Gallery?
We're doing a partnership with the Images Festival, which happens every year, and it is a show that is curated by Chris Carreri and Louis Jacob, who are Toronto-based artists, and it is a three-person show between Chris Carreri, Louis Jacob, and Samuel Beckett. And the show, interestingly...
So the Images Festival isn't curated by these...
No, this project is uh-huh. a project under the umbrella of the
right.
Images Festival.
Yes.
And that'll open, we're confirming dates, but probably early April.
Mm-hmm.
Probably April 7th or 8th. And the show, yes, it's Chris Carreri's work, Louis Jacob's work, and Samuel Beckett's.
Mm-hmm.
And it really looks at the inner workings of the body. So, whereas in my show there was these... There's these casts and these kind of shields or mm-hmm. Looking at the outer surface
yes.
of the body. This show actually looks at the insides. So it'll be an interesting follow-up to this current exhibition.
And the Images Festival, that's a photography
yeah,
festival.
Images. There's
yes.
Yeah, there's moving images. There's still images.
And it's all over the city.
Yeah, it's all over the city. So there will be multiple venues.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, I think there is some sort of a stream in the organization and the
uh-huh.
festival that is related to kind of public spaces. And
What was I going to? Oh yes, there's one piece in your exhibition that mm-hmm. is stone that's revolving. How does that relate?
Oh yes, Lois Anderson.
Uh huh.
So Lois Anderson is a Toronto-based artist, and this work called Need Me, which is made in 2012, opens the exhibition.
It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful work.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it opens the exhibition for two reasons. One, it is one of the first objects you see when you walk into Joe and Samara's home. So I wanted to echo this kind of placement and,
mm-hmm.
and the context that the work exists in their house, because we are dealing with a collection and the show comes from a collection.
Mm.
But also, Lois Anderson has taken these visual codes that are the standards for memorials and turned them into something which is, you know, when we look at a tombstone, the tombstone is almost like a punctuation mark, right? It's this indicator, it's this sign that something has ended. There's a rupture, something is done, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But her piece, by using kinetic sculpture, actually turns this this memorialization into something that is actually about renewal and regeneration. And so the piece is made out of sandblasted granite, which is what tombstones are traditionally made out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then she uses the same type font that is the standard for tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes through these four kind of phrases that she's devised as the four cycles of life. So seed me, feed me, need me, weed me, going from life to death. And this piece just kind of rotates and the language shifts, and it really becomes about this idea of a cycle of a beginning and an ending, and then beginning again and ending again, which starts to kind of invade the rest of the exhibition, really. So I thought that was a kind of poignant opening piece, because the show also deals a lot with life, death, traces. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, what is a trace? How does something acquire monumentality? And this idea of going from representing someone to everyone to no one, or possibly no one to everyone to someone. And so a lot of the works are so abstracted that they're kind of representational and abstract at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful, and the way that it moves is very meditative. It puts you in a frame of mind. I can see the placement as you're entering the exhibition, sort of sets up this thought process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, is there another piece that jumps out at you from now looking back at that
exhibition? Or from the exhibition?
From that exhibition. Actually, I'm thinking about the exhibition at Daniel Faria.
Oh, All Beneath the Moon Decays.
Yes, and I thought that you were going to, when I asked about decay, I thought you were going to choose those monumental...
Yes, the weight-bearing work,
yes,
by Alison Vieira. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's because I'm so present still in this exhibition, which is still on, which is why I refer to it. And in many ways, people have kind of referred to the current exhibition as this kind of continuation of my preoccupation with this idea of decay and the body, but also life. I think the work is also as much about life. It's also about presence and absence, and this kind of moment and temporality where things shift from being present to absent, and and the idea of the contradictions as well, which is what life is all about anyways, the unknown and contradictions. Those works, I mean, those works to me are also, when you ask me what stands out about, when I refer to Miroslav Balka and his work, I mean, Alison was also, her work is also, I'm also very invested in with that interest, in the sense that even her own bodily dimensions are also present in those columns, right? Like she stacks those columns to her height.
Yes.
And when she chisels away at that drywall, she creates these curves and these kind of ruptures in the piece that also mimic her own width and bodily dimensions. So she is present in the works, even though they look like, you know, ancient keratin forms, which we can identify through, you know, photographs of Greece and temples and all of that. But she is very much present in the work, and the work is very much engaged with its process of decay. She's kind of created this new object that is already engaged with its process of decay, because in contemporary art we have this kind of desire for newness all the time. And what happens when something actually doesn't appear new right from the beginning? What is that, you know, like, what does that mean? What feelings does that invoke? What questions does that raise? And in a sense, those works, and actually all the works that I'm really interested in, I kind of refer to as mirrors. There are these kind of mirrors that the viewer is able to step into and actually really contemplate themselves in them, because other bodies, understanding our own bodies, we're able to understand others.
Well, those, I had a real physical reaction to those, just because of the eye, you know, the eye beams sitting on top made me a bit nervous, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how they were they bolted into the floor anyway?
No.
They're just balanced.
They're literally, and the objects, the structures, and the unit structures, which have the two kind of female lintel forms and then the I-beam, those, they're called weight-bearing.
Mm.
And again, it's this idea of like the body bearing this weight, not only physically, but also historically, emotionally, psychologically, metaphysically. These are all things that the body actually holds, and we can even see, if you know, really want to get into it. I mean, looking at the body, you're able to measure circumstances, right? the way your posture is, mm-hmm. when people are stressed, when someone's, you know, emotionally tired, when someone's happy and resilient. I mean, the body is this beautiful, incredible tool that has such a vast vocabulary of expression. So I find that really fascinating. And when that's reflected in artworks that kind of collapse all of those qualities and kind of states.
Well, I see that this is going to be a theme that runs into the future longer with you.
Yeah, we'll see how it develops for sure. Or, you know, it might also take a break and my other interests might also start to blossom.
What would those be?
My other interests. It's so funny. I'm so invested now. I'm trying to think of all the other things.
Well, I've caught you off guard here.
No, but I think it's something, I mean, I may not be able to answer it now, but I think that's an important thing to ask is, you know, what else is there? But I'm happy right now with the body and its states and its possibilities.
It's a lifetime of study, for sure.
No, it is, and everything can be. Everything is a lifetime of study, and I'm very much invested in that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, it's a beautiful show, and
Thank you.
All three of those shows that you've mentioned are very interesting, and I really, really enjoy what's happening at Scrap Metal Gallery.
Thank you so much.
Rui Mateus Amaral, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.